so glad you've joined us on the ERLC podcast to explore how the Bible addresses important cultural issues pertaining to life, religious liberty, marriage and family, and human dignity, and how we can walk in wisdom for God's glory and for the flourishing of our neighbors. If you're enjoying this podcast and find it helpful, please leave a review wherever you listen. This will help more people find and benefit from what we're learning together. We are grateful for the time you take to join us for these conversations. ERLC podcast, where our goal is to help you think biblically about today's cultural issues. I'm Elizabeth Bristow, and today we're talking about the important work of pregnancy resource centers and Baptist state conventions across the country. Psalm 139:14 says that each life is fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Out of all of his creation, Genesis tells us that human life alone is made in his image. Because of this truth, we bear a responsibility to help preserve and protect all lives. This is why the work of pregnancy resource centers across the country and abroad is vital. The individuals in these centers commit themselves to the work of proclaiming the dignity of preborn lives, doing all they can to give them a chance at life, while serving the vulnerable women and families who walk through their doors. And it's also why partnership among Southern Baptists is essential. We can do more to protect life together. On today's episode, you'll hear from a special guest, Karen Roseberry. She spent much of her life dedicated to serving both women and preborn children as the executive director of CareNet Women's Resource Center in Lancaster, California. Tragically, Karen lost her life in a car accident shortly after we conducted this interview. But the staff of CareNet encouraged us to share her words with you since this work was a great passion of her life. Karen left a lasting impression everywhere she served and led many women to know Jesus as their Savior and choose life for their babies. She will be greatly missed, but the important work of the center continues onward as they work to provide free support and resources for women and families in their community. You will also hear from Todd Unzicker, who serves as executive director and treasurer for North Carolina Baptist. Todd is passionate about the local church and the Great Commission, and his vision for North Carolina Baptist is focused on rallying them to be a movement of churches on mission together. Pregnancy resource centers are at the heart of the pro-life movement and are at the front line of the battle against abortion. These centers are places of refuge where women facing unplanned pregnancies have their needs met and are first introduced to the gospel of Jesus. Many in society criticized pregnancy resource centers, claiming that they only focus on the baby, leaving the mom to fend for herself. Here is Karen Roseberry explaining the work of the center she served and how the baby-mother dichotomy is far from the truth.
We have two parts to our center. We have our clinic and we have our material center. On the clinic side, we perform pregnancy tests and ultrasounds. Our clinic is overseen by our medical director. He signs off on all of our ultrasounds. Our pregnancy tests are performed by our nursing staff and volunteers that are here. And then we also have our advocates that meet with the moms, just providing a listening ear and just letting them have that opportunity to talk. And as a faith-based clinic, also seeking to take each opportunity that we have to share Jesus at any chance that we get. We want moms and dads to know that their greatest and most important resource is Him, and connecting them to other faith-based resources, whether it's a local church or one of our community business organizations that oftentimes shares like faith and practice in mind in ways that we can come along and really support and assist our clients with both their material needs, but also their emotional and spiritual and mental needs. And so we walk with our clients that choose to partner with us in our pregnancy center for the next 2 years. We have pregnancy classes, infancy classes, toddlerhood classes, and those classes allow the moms and the dads that take them to earn points in what we call our Earn While You Learn program. And those points can then be redeemed in our boutique for things that moms and dads need, like diapers and wipes and baby clothes, baby hygiene items, toys, bounties, some we get strollers, just things that parents really do need in terms of material assistance, but also life skills and just a community and a place that they can come where they're safe, where they're encouraged, and where they get equipped to be able to be the parents that they want to be. In our section of Los Angeles County, there's about 1,500 women that do not receive any prenatal care in the first trimester. So we help to bridge a gap there as well with just the needs of our community. And then certainly those coming through our doors that are vulnerable on their decision and that are struggling with what to do with their pregnancy. We want to make sure that we have the first opportunity to talk with them, that they come to us before they ever find a Planned Parenthood. It's really a full equipped, holistic care that we seek to offer and provide. One of the criticisms of the pro-life movement is that you only care about the, you know, the baby, you know, once the baby's born, you don't care what happens, you know, to the baby or the mom, and nothing could be further from the truth. And pregnancy centers really step up to just demonstrate that we believe in holistic care for the mom, for the dad that's involved, for the baby.
As we've discussed on previous episodes, the Supreme Court's historic decision in Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization in June of 2022 overturned a national right to abortion and returned abortion legislation back to the states. Yet, the work of the pro-life movement and pregnancy resource centers is still needed and is more important than ever. Here's Karen sharing about the opportunities and challenges for her center in California since the Dobbs decision, many of which will be familiar to the state you're in.
We've seen an increase of over 20% across the board and certain demographics even higher of the number of clients who are walking through our doors. There's a greater and greater need for services that we provide. And so that opens the door for just an increase in the number of clients that we're seeing on a daily, weekly, monthly, and yearly basis. We are overjoyed that we have the capacity to be able to bring in those clients and even growing that so that we can take in more. We're optimistic that in 2024, we might continue to see hopefully that steady, perhaps even 20% growth again, and just continue to bring through our doors more and more people. Far too few people know that pregnancy centers exist. We are so oftentimes referred to as sort of the untapped gem. So really an opportunity and a challenge is for us to be able to be better known through our community. It's about making known the services that we offer. Because the reality is, until someone actually is pregnant or has a pregnancy need, so many times they don't know that the pregnancy centers are an option and available, and just the resources that we are able to provide. The flip side of that is the fact that there are those, especially in California, that are antagonistic to the services that we provide. In San Diego County in November and then again in December, one of the Board of Supervisors, the County Board of Supervisors, put forth an agenda item to explore the closure of all pregnancy centers in the county of San Diego. In Sacramento, they malign our reputations. They spread radical misinformation about what it is that we do. And part of that is the fact that we are effective in changing hearts and minds and lives. We invite women in. No woman is coerced in coming in. We are upfront and honest with everyone that walks through our doors as to the services we provide and the services that we don't provide. But we give accurate information and we allow women to weigh their options in a non-judgmental atmosphere and space where they are loved and supported and encouraged, where they get the information they need. Even simple things like how far along they are in their gestational age. We want to make sure that they are getting accurate, complete, and total information that's not provided elsewhere. And the reality is that when women are provided that information, more often than not, they recognize this is my baby. This is life. I am a mother. And it is much more difficult for them to then choose to end that life. And that is a threat to the Planned Parenthoods of the world. That is a threat to the legislators who get funding from the Political Action Committee of Planned Parenthood. It's a vicious cycle. And so if their clients are coming to pregnancy centers, and if we're providing better care, the objective truth is that we see women sooner, we see them with better care, our services are free, and we are able to do a better job at the work that we do than the Planned Parenthoods that exist. And so they look for other ways to shut us down. We have an attorney general in California who's written a consumer watch report awareness calling out to the fraud of pregnancy centers. And again, nothing could be further from the truth. It's insidious because we don't charge for our services. We're not manipulating anyone to come through our doors, yet they do not want the truth to be heard. And they do not want women hearing that they have options, that they have alternatives, that they don't have to go to a Planned Parenthood and they don't have to end their pregnancies.
Scripture is clear that we are called to value life. And because of this, Southern Baptists are deeply committed to life at all stages. Our state conventions and local churches across the country are key to promoting a culture of life in our country and supporting crucial organizations and ministries. Here's Todd Unsicker with how his state convention, North Carolina Baptist, are seeking to defend and protect life. You may find ideas for your church or convention as he shares.
This issue of life is theological. I became a Christian at the age of 28 and dove right into God's word and immediately realized that all people are made in his image from the very first pages of the Bible. And so the Imago Dei is why we advocate for life and all of life. The pages of scripture scream out that God is for life. The answer to how our convention works with the pro-life movement is the same way we would work on any issue, and that is it begins with the local church. We say a lot that the local church is God's plan A for reaching a lost, dying, and hurting world. And so we are not only fueled by churches, but we are fueled for churches. And so you're going to see churches that deeply care about life issues, whether that's involved in pregnancy resource centers, to adoption and foster care, to legislation in the state level in Raleigh, all the way to Capitol Hill. We believe that preborn lives deserve love and freedom and protection. And so the buckets that we like to think about it as at a convention level is that pro-life means that we defend, love, adopt, and volunteer. NC Baptist Defend Life through our Christian Life and Public Affairs Committee that we have dedicated for the legislature, whether that be the state level or for national. And NC Baptist have worked on Capitol Hill for national issues, along with state issues right here in our own Capitol. So we say we not only defend, but we also love with the Psalm 139 project and placing ultrasound units. Our goal is to place one in every county. And we've started in some of the most under-resourced areas in the rural parts of our state, whether that was in the mountains or over by the coast. We're a state that adopts. We have the Every Child Initiative right now. And one of the goals for NC Baptist churches is that we would eradicate child homelessness in our state. We launched the Every Child Initiative in November of 21. And we are pleased to report that over 500 NC Baptist churches have gone through the training and are now licensed foster care training facilities here within our state. So we defend, we love, we adopt, and we volunteer. You would be hard-pressed to find any PRC in the state of North Carolina where the majority of the volunteers, and in many cases all, come from NC Baptist churches. So that's what pro-life means for us.
One of the tangible ways we can literally save lives is by doing something as simple as funding the placement of an ultrasound machine in pregnancy resource centers. These machines are a powerful way for women to get a window into the world of her child. The Psalm 139 Project, a ministry of the ERLC, is dedicated to placing ultrasound machines in centers across the country and abroad at no cost to them. And we wouldn't be able to do this without the generosity of Southern Baptist and partnerships with local and state conventions. So what difference does this generosity make? Here's Todd with an incredible story of how God powerfully used this cooperation.
Psalm 139 Project fit like a hand in glove with churches in North Carolina. And for pastors who are listening, I would suspect it would fit like a hand in glove with you. Because if you want your people to leave the seats and get out in the streets, this gives them the perfect vehicle. They could certainly find out more by just going to psalm139project.org. I remember right when we got started with this project, we were going to surprise and tell this Pregnancy Resource Center about a brand new ultrasound. And it was in the mountains in a poor, under-resourced community. And so we pull up there for a big dedication. And the RLC had some representatives there and Psalm 139 and a local Baptist association. And we go in and there were reporters there and it was a big deal. It was on a Friday and this PRC is not normally open on a Friday. As we were setting up this brand new ultrasound unit, thanks to the generosity of NC Baptist, the director noticed a car was parked out front and there was one lady who was in there. And ironically, we needed her to move the car for some camera shots we were doing. So she walked over to the car and there sitting in that car was a teenage woman. And she was sitting there and she had tears coming down her face. She had tears because she had an abortion scheduled. And she said she felt waking up that morning that she needed to look for if there was any other option. And she had heard about this Pregnancy Resource Center, drove to it and saw the closed sign. So she was sitting there literally looking up where to go get an abortion, actually in a different state or a different location, when we walked up and we were literally able to, because of the Psalm 139 Project, she met with some counselors there and she was the first ultrasound that was done with the Psalm 139 Project. Well, she decided to keep her baby. She gave her life to Christ. And we found out sometime later, she and her boyfriend got married, and now they are members in a local NC Baptist church in this part of the community. And literally that ultrasound, to see the power of that, it started working before the PRC was even open. It literally saved lives, brought people to Jesus, and made stronger families before we had even started the dedication.
These stories of hope help carry pro-life advocates through the overwhelming challenges that often arise in defending life. Even after the overturning of Roe versus Wade, obstacles remain, and they will be brought to the forefront in a political election year. Here are Karen and Todd with important reminders and encouragement as our churches seek to stand for life.
The reality is that the majority of Americans want there to be restrictions, at least at some level. But we also need to meet the people where they're at and take the wins that we can get. We didn't get here overnight. We've had 50 years, unfortunately, of Roe being the law of the land, but we still have a generation that has been misinformed. And so we need to roll this back. And it may take a more gradual approach. And that can be difficult sometimes because we feel like we're not getting all that we want.
We anticipate 2024 to have challenges. And I think as long as NC Baptist continue their unwavering stance for life without hesitation or reservation, the enemy is going to work. And he is going to want to cause division, fight God in dividing his people and dividing people on best practices for pro-life and those types of things with the election coming up. Elections are important. But one of the things that God saved me from was putting my trust in earthly kingdoms. And so as important as elections are, and they are, and I pray that God puts strong pro-life leaders at every level of our government. We know that our hope is in Christ. Our hope does not come riding in the wings of Air Force One. Our hope one day comes riding in the clouds, and his name is Jesus. And so from this day until that day, we as NC Baptist are going to be people who not only declare the truth that life begins at conception and life is precious and deserves to be protected. And that includes not only preborn children, but the elderly and disabled and those who find themselves in addictions and whatever challenges of life that they find them in, we're going to stand unwavering with that. NC Baptist are going to be a movement of churches that are on mission together and on mission together to protect life. This is not an option. Supporting life is not like a ministry of the church. It's the ministry that the church should live in. The same way that missions should not be a program of the church, but the church has a mission. This is part of the mission of God, is protecting life, especially preborn babies who can't speak for themselves. Go to ncbaptist.org/givelife. I don't care if you're in North Carolina or not. We have certainly resources we would love to help you with to support life initiatives in your state. I mentioned the Psalm 139 Project. You can go to psalm139project.org and you can find out how you and your church can literally bring life to families and women that are in crisis during a time when they're really most vulnerable. Prayer is not our last resort. It's our primary strategy. And so pray and ask the Lord how he would use you. And maybe that's your prayer as you're listening to this right now. Like the prophet Isaiah, you would say, open your hands and say, here am I, Lord, send me. And maybe you just need to put your yes on the table and let God put it on the map and put it on the map in one of your local pregnancy resource centers. So whether you're in California or North Carolina or Florida, or maybe you're listening around the globe, we want to help mobilize all Christians so that we can truly be a movement of churches on mission together.
Every life is precious, matters to God, and is worthy of love and protection. As his people, we bear a responsibility to proclaim this to the world and demonstrate it with our lives. Thankfully, we don't have to champion life alone. Pregnancy resource centers are the outpost of the pro-life movement and provide a wonderful opportunity to defend and serve the vulnerable. Furthermore, as Southern Baptist, we can join together on this mission. May God give us a passion for life and multiply our efforts so that 50 more years down the road, we might see a world where abortion is unthinkable, mothers are supported, and families are given the opportunity to flourish. Thanks for listening to this series on life. Join us next time as we begin a new series on how Christians can show a better way forward in political engagement, especially during a presidential election year.